Practice Radio. FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
It's Vectis Radio. That was Otis Redding sitting on the dock of the bay, and we were both singing along to that. Now, I'm Mark Ovenden, and I've got a question for you. Did you know that this year is Britain is celebrating 200 years of railways? And were you also aware that the island's very own award-winning steam railway is opening earlier than normal as part of these celebrations? We have with us their marketing manager, Zoe Stroud. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about why you're opening early today?
What's happening? Yeah. So obviously it's Railway 200, as you mentioned, which is a UK-wide celebration and worldwide celebration of railways in the UK. And we on New Year's Day had a sort of whistle up with other railways, where we all got together on New Year's Day and, you know, sounded our whistles. And we thought, why not open earlier than we have done previously or for a long time? So we're opening, obviously, today. We're running a four-day winter gala and a dark ales festival. So, yeah.
Sounds tasty and exciting at the same time.
It is, yes.
So opening earlier than normal, that must have been quite stressful for you all. And you're an organisation that really is run by lots of volunteers as well as some of the staff, aren't you? I mean, how many have you got involved and what do the volunteers do?
OK, so we've got around 500 volunteers, wow, obviously, plus core staff. And yeah, I think normally they get a bit of time to get things prepared and they've got a bit more like an extra month or so to get organised, and we've sort of thrown this on them. But, you know, the volunteers do a whole range of stuff from, you know, welcome host, event planning, obviously a lot of the loco work, a lot of the rail work and the up the line work. So it's been all hands on deck, actually, which has kind of made it all go a bit quicker than we're used to. But it's it just feels really nice. I was there this morning. It's very busy, lots of people coming out, which is great to see because we are opening earlier. So, you know, just trying to get people aware that we're open. And yeah, there's a real nice buzz about the place.
So what do the volunteers actually do then? I mean, could anybody volunteer and come and join you? I'm guessing that they wouldn't be asked to be a train driver
straight
from day
away,
one, but
no.
What are the things they do?
So it depends on what your skill set is or what you're interested in. So we have obviously certain roles. So it could be working in the booking office. So, you know, you're the first person that people see, you come and, you know, people buy their tickets from you, or, you know, when they arrive, they see you. It could be that we've got some welcome hosts as well. So when you come into the railway, just that kind of person to help guide you. Catering, we've got retail, as I said, we've got loco staff, yes, we've got train drivers. There's a bit more long-winded process on that one, but we just look for anyone across the whole spectre of business. And if you're thinking, oh, you know, actually I've got some time, we can help, like, just find a role for you. So they are great. The volunteers keep the railway running. They're amazing asset for us all.
All power to the volunteers.
Yeah.
So how did the island actually end up with a steam railway in the first place, Zoe?
So obviously the Isle of Wight had steam across the whole island, and then that was, as we all know, closed. So a group of enthusiasts formed the Wight Locomotive Society and raised funds. And the first thing they did was to preserve one of our, well, the last steam locomotives, which was Kelbourne, which is in service today, actually. So she's on the line today. So she's our longest running engine, if you like. Then in 1971, the Isle of Wight Railway Company was formed, and they bought 1.5 mile track between Wootton and Haven Street. So that was the first bit. And then we graduated towards Ryde, and we reached Smallbrook in 1991. So, and then linked up with Island Line. So it was all down to a small group of people that were enthusiastic, some of which are still involved with the railway today, and they just wanted to preserve it. And, you know, thank goodness they did, actually, because it's special up there and it's lovely, and we've kind of kept that bit of the line, which is fantastic.
And it's become quite a major attraction, hasn't it, to
yes,
locals and visitors alike?
Yes, it's really, really popular. We get a whole wide range of people visiting. We put on loads of events across the year, so we have a huge events calendar. So there's always a reason to come. We're, you know, always looking for new ideas and new ways to get people involved. We have some really nice fun family stuff. Obviously, the galas are really great if you are a bit more interested in the kind of heritage and the train side of it. So it's there's something for everyone, and we've got really good facilities on site. Our train story, which is 10 this year, that was set up just to tell the story of the train. And again, as a museum, it's really interactive for all ages. It's a really, really well worth. A lot of people miss it, even though it's a massive building, because it's up the other end of the site. People go, oh, I missed that. So definitely don't miss that if you visit.
Oh, we need bigger signs.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the first steam railway then, back in Stockton, between Stockton and Darlington, up in County Durham. How do your, that was 200 years ago, how do your celebrations fit in with what's going on with this railway 200 nationally?
So we're just celebrating that in terms of if anyone's got any events coming up this year that are related to Railway 200, they can obviously promote that through the Railway 200 website. We have got our own celebration. So we've got 100 years of Cowbourn back on the island. We've got 150 years of the Ride to Newport line. So we've got our own sort of celebrations, but also we're working with other community people. So for example, White in Bloom this year, which is a community gardening project, that will have a Railway 200 theme, so we're working with them to just try and get that to come together, and we will have the awards at the railway this year as well. So there's lots of things that we can do to just be proud and of our heritage and proud of the railways across the whole of the UK, really.
And there's going to be a coin, I believe, isn't there? A commemorative 200-year coin, too.
Yeah, we've had a headboard. It's sort of train speak. So we've had a headboard made, which will sit on front of engines, so for photos and things, and there's badges, and there's lots of different things going around. And I think it's important that we all celebrate Railway 200 by some form or other, because it's important to keep the railways alive, really.
Well, we've talked on Ian Mac's show as well about how important the railways were to the island, and wouldn't it be great if there were still more left? And it does beg the question, I wonder if you got any plans to do any extensions of the current line at all?
We haven't. I mean, we always talk about it. There's logistically, it would be quite challenging, I think. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing if we literally could extend the line and have steam going further afield? I think that would be an amazing thing to look at, but no, not at this stage.
Oh, well, maybe in the future.
Maybe.
With a big lottery win, you never
maybe,
know.
Maybe, yeah.
Now, I did read also that the steam railway is quite unique in terms of preserving very early passenger carriages.
Yes.
It's probably one of the few that has really, really old carriages on it, because some of the other preservation railways around the country have them from sort of 60, 70 years ago. I believe you've got some of the oldest carriages, is that right?
Yeah, so we've got some of the original Ride Pier rail car, so that's original. We are also we've created a replica as that of that as well, so we can extend that service. Our restoration team, you can actually, when you come to the railway, you can go into the restoration area and actually see the restoration happening, and it's amazing. They will get carriages that look, that have had a very bizarre life and they don't look particularly great, and then we basically restore it to how it was. So the work that they do, mainly volunteers, is phenomenal, and to watch it happen. So yeah, you'll see some of them is out on the line.
So I was going to ask about that as well. I mean, you wonder where all these incredible engines and carriages come from, because I think sometimes there are stories of them finding carriages left in fields that have been, the sheep have been put in or whatever. I mean, how much work would that be to restore it back to usability?
I think it's quite a bit of work. I mean, some of them are Airbnbs, some of them are beach huts. I mean, some of them have had very interesting lives. It's, you know, it is work. Obviously, we have lots of fundraising, and, you know, we're always looking for donations to help us with that, because it's mainly the cost involved with restoring. But then lovely projects, actually. So it's a great project to be involved with from beginning to end, to then see it on the line. So I think that's really unique and special.
So for someone who's never been to the Isle of Wight Steam Railway, I'm just wondering how we would describe the arrival and a first journey on the lovely old carriages.
Yeah, so I mean, we kind of sort of sell ourselves as a visitor attraction with a heritage railway at the heart of it. So we are fundamentally a visitor attraction. So all the things you would expect and that you would need, you've got them. So toilets, good food, all that sort of stuff. The journey, even this morning, and I've, you know, been involved with them for a long time now, that you cannot explain or try and justify that feeling of hearing the steam, feeling it, and the smells of the sights and the smells of it. there's just something really magical about it. And I think it just takes you back in time, and it's very authentic and very traditional. And I think that's what we like, the authenticity of it.
And it's great seeing kids there as well, isn't it? Kids that clearly would have no idea what a steam engine was beforehand. And there they are, all excited to see these great big thundering machines.
Yeah, they love it. It's so immersive, I think, for anybody. And I think, you know, lots of young people there today, and it's just special for them. And obviously, if they're visitors and they're not near heritage railways, it's such a unique thing. And obviously the line cuts through that beautiful countryside, so you can go through and really feel like you're way back in, say, the 40s or wherever. So it's great that we get all ages, and it's really important for us to just keep that interest going.
Well, Zoe, the Winter Gala and Dark Ales Festival is on from today until
Sunday.
And it's free to get in,
obviously? It's free to get in. Obviously, if you want to ride on the train, then there's obviously the train fare will apply. We've also got a community book sale running as well. So we're selling a lot of our old books and things. So that's running. And we've got a quiz tomorrow evening. So there's lots going on. It's all on the website. So there's lots going on for the next 4 days.
And you also would love more people to come and volunteer.
Absolutely. Always. All the information's on the website. Please consider it. Even if it's just, half a day or whatever, it'd just be really nice to get you involved in any which way.
Well, Zoe, thank you very much for coming in. Now, we have found a special little tune to play.
Excellent.
Which is railway themed.
Brilliant.
Maybe you could introduce it for us.
Oh, I can. It is The Last Train to Clarksville by the Monkees.